So this is Narada Kund. In 1967, how long ago is that? 49 years ago. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, his name is Satswarup Das Goswami, he wasn't named like that then, he found a book. It was done by Gita Press, I think. And the book was called the Narada Bhakti Sutras. And he commented that in those days, 1967, devotees were just a little bit above hippies. So anything they found from India was spiritual for them. And they would be bringing these things they found from India to Srila Prabhupada, and he would be saying, not that. No, no, not that. That one, no, we don't worry about that. And sifting through all the things that they found and they were showing him. But he himself found this Narada Bhakti Sutra, and when he took it and showed it to Srila Prabhupada, to his surprise, Srila Prabhupada said, oh yes, this is a very good book. He said, in future I will translate this. So he got very excited. It was just a small book. And so he was actually at that time, he was Srila Prabhupada's typist, which meant that Srila Prabhupada had one or two cassette tapes. Just imagine how prehistoric this was. He had one or two cassette tapes, and he sent them by snail mail. So he would send him a cassette tape, and he would listen. He had a little dictaphone, and he would transcribe that. And then he would send the same one back to Srila Prabhupada. And meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada had two, so he sent the other one. Can you imagine? We're so extravagant today. We're like totally extravagant, as if we're all just living on air. And Srila Prabhupada was meticulous about these two cassette tapes. And so he would send one back, and he would send it back, and this was his discipline of service. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada was working on a book called Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And simultaneously, because of the enthusiasm of his typist, he decided that he would start translating the Narada Bhakti Sutras. So it was interesting because the word bhakti, it was called, I think, I don't know what the title in English was of the particular, I don't think there was an English title. But Srila Prabhupada immediately translated the word bhakti, not as love, because people say it's love, bhakti is love. But he said, no, it is devotional love, devotional service. He linked these two words characteristically together always, devotional service. Because he didn't want people to get into some kind of a sense of an impersonal love experience. You know, I love this, I love that, I love that, I love that. But he wanted the mood of service to be at the core of their mood of love. So he started translating this book, and Satsvarup Goswami, he announced, he noticed that he translated one verse, two verses, and he was doing them parallel. And he noticed that he was putting a lot of the information from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya into the purports of this Narada Bhakti Sutras. And he went up to 3 verses, 4 verses, 5 verses, 6 verses, 7 verses, 8 verses. And after 8 verses, he wrote a message to his typist saying that everything in these Narada Bhakti Sutras are also there in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And so I will concentrate from now on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and I will complete this other volume in the future. Now, anyone who ever read or heard anything about Srila Prabhupada, you knew that he never had a future. He was so busy. It wasn't like he had some time in the future. He just dropped that into a spare moment. He was alive with this mood of service.
So he was booking tickets a year in advance to travel all around the world, which now we think, oh, yes, you get a round-the-world ticket and you see Spain and you see Italy and you spend a few days in Morocco and you take some nice shots and put them onto your whatever, whatever. We are so technologically connected in the world today. But in those days, it wasn't technologically connected like that. So when you traveled, it was a bit strenuous to travel, and it was quite a thing to travel, whereas now it's quite a thing not to travel. So Srila Prabhupada was traveling from place to place to place to place, and he was always in this same mood of bhakti that Narada Muni was in. And so the sutras, he never completed them. Then after Srila Prabhupada left, one or two key disciples, and Satsvarup Goswami was one of them, they completed something that Srila Prabhupada never had time to do. So Tamal Krishna Goswami, for example, he completed the light of the Bhagavatam, which was Prabhupada had wanted to take to Japan, a series of beautiful, astonishing paintings, and just describing the pastimes in the autumn season from the Krishna book with analogies that link up nature with different principles of devotional life. He felt that the Japanese people would like this because they like nature. But then at the last minute, it was cancelled. His trip was cancelled. So we would feel a little bit disappointed, and we feel that maybe until these strong, serious disciples took these responsibilities, we also felt disappointed that he had a desire that didn't eventuate. But these two particularly important works of Srila Prabhupada's that he wanted to achieve were accepted by these two disciples, and the Narada Bhakti Sutra is available. I think you can get it in book form. You can also get it on the Vedabase. So in that Narada Bhakti Sutra, there are 84 sutras, of course, for those who are not familiar, means like a string, like a very simple way of saying a lot. So if you would say something like, Aham Brahmasmi, it's a sutra. Aham Brahmasmi, you can go, Aham Brahmasmi. It's five consonants. But within those five little sounds, there's a huge amount of knowledge and to be discovered and to be discussed and to be analyzed and to be realized. So the sutras are like that. So the sutras actually, there's five different chapters they're broken down into. I think first of all they define bhakti, what is bhakti. Then they talk about the process to achieve bhakti. They talk about the characteristics of bhakti. You can never find your page when you want to find it, right? You had that experience. You can find it any other time. And this is one of those times. But he speaks about bhakti, and he analyzes bhakti and what is the process. He speaks about how you gain bhakti. He says some people say that you gain bhakti by giving up sinful things. And he quotes, he says, Sandilya Muni says you get bhakti by giving up sinful sense gratification, sinful activities. And somebody else says you get bhakti by doing these particular activities. And somebody says you get bhakti by hearing Krishna's pastimes. And somebody else says, and he gives five different ways that you get bhakti, and he says, and all of these are correct, but the actually most important way you get bhakti is by association with somebody who already has bhakti. So this is Narada giving the principles of how to attain devotional service to Krishna. Now, this morning in preparation, I started trying to think. Narada Muni, he's an extraordinary personality. His Ishtadev, that means who he worships in his heart, he worships Lord Narayan. And his eternal residence is in Vaikuntha. But Narada Muni has the power to go anywhere, practically anywhere in the spiritual world, anywhere in the material world. And so there's so many pastimes and Narada intervenes. So I went through, I had a bit of free time to collect them together, but I thought it would be a good thing to ask you. Of course, everybody's on different levels of Bhagavatam study, but if you can think of anywhere where Narada Muni shows up and does something. Who can think of one? Where Narada Muni influences the situation. With Kamsa. He went to Kamsa and he told Kamsa that the baby was already born and got Kamsa riled up to try and find him and kill him and bring Krishna to Mathura. Yes. Any more? Dhruva Maharaj. Yes, he went to see Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to test him. He's a little boy, just a five-year-old boy, just a young child. And he wanted to see if he was serious. So he told him, you've come here to the forest because you want to attain some goals, but I think you should go home. It was just a petty little argument at home. This is not the proper way to approach what you want to achieve. Go home, grow up. When you've grown up, come back, and then you can achieve it. And Dhruva Maharaj basically told him, you're a sadhu, and sadhu see everything equally. I'm a Kshatriya boy. I don't see like that. If you can help me, please give me relevant instructions. If not, Hari Bol. And Narada said, Hari Bol. And then he gave him relevant instructions. Where else does Narada show up? Back one first. Prachetas, Daksha's sons. Yes, he came in and he told them, you know, actually, a life of materialism isn't good for you. Your father, look at your father, he's very materialistic. Don't go down this path. Just give it up. You just go to the north. And there you will find everything you want in retiring from material life. And they did it. And then Daksha was furious because he'd sent his sons to get some austerity into them so they could propagate for, this is Satya Yuga, to propagate all the species and propagate and propagate. And Narada said, don't bother. And then he got very angry and then he had another set of sons. They were called? Hariashvas? Yes. The Hariashvas had another set of sons. He sent them to he was a little foolish. He sent them to the same place to do the same kind of austerities. Because in Satya Yuga you do 10,000 years of meditation standing in water. But you live for 1,000 years. So that's like 10 years. So he wanted them to do their training as well. And they went. And Narada came. And he told them the same thing. He said, did you see what your older brothers did? You should follow your older brothers. They're very intelligent. And so they did. And of course then Daksha was so furious. He cursed Narada. And from then on, he only had daughters. There you go. That's one time that Narada interfered. And Lalita? Yes, he saved Prahlad Maharaj. Because Indra had decided that if the father is so bad and that I've captured his wife, the child in her womb should be killed immediately because it'll be a monster. And Narada came and said, no, don't kill her. The child in her womb is a great devotee. Even if you tried to kill him, you couldn't do it. And he took both the mother and the unborn baby to his ashram and instructed her in Bhagavad Dharma. And the mother, because she was thinking, where's my husband? Where's my husband? Oh, this is so bad. She forgot everything, like some people do. And the son, Prahlad, he remembered everything. So his instructions to Vyasadeva are the basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There wouldn't be this wonderful book written down, compiled. It's Uddhava spoke and Sukadeva spoke, but speaking and writing are two different things. So I can say, long, long ago, my mother told me something. But if you get it all written down, it's very accurate and it can be passed down to generation after generation. So Narada, being superior in senior to Vyasadeva, he spoke to him about his own life and his own struggle to come to his own perfection. And in reality, Narada is an eternal transcendental personality. So it's not that he actually is an imperfect being who became something great. But these great transcendental personalities appear sometimes in the form of an amsa. An amsa, we heard this word amsa. It means like a part. And that part sometimes is even, this is very inconceivable, but they're combined with another personality. They can do this on the spiritual level. And so that personality who is like a, you could say, a part of Narada is Narada, but also acts as somebody who is learning how to become what Narada already is. This is for our benefit that he shows these examples. Yes? Damodar Leela. Ah, this is a perfect one. One that we're hearing nourishing Katara about every day. Yes, because it was Narada who wanted those two sons to improve. They weren't acting nicely. They were definitely not acting nicely. But their father was such an important man. So what do you want? You want them to improve. So sometimes if you see somebody misbehaving, you might, even a policeman might put him in jail and say you have to stay in jail for 10 years for your crime. But the policeman is not thinking, he should go into jail and therefore he should rot in jail, but he's thinking he should improve. So Narada had their interests in mind. And as a result, he placed them in an encapsulation right outside in Mahavan. What a place to be born as a tree. And joined, because they were twins, joined at the base. And then, I don't know if we've heard yet who they became later. Have we heard? No. So that's something wonderful as well. But they attained a hugely desirable goal. That much I can say. No more. I can't. I will spoil everything for all of you. Lalita. He was involved with Krishna's appearance. What did he do? Tell me. He tried to speed it up. Yes, yes, yes. So twice he went to Kamsa. Once he came to speed it up, talking about the demigods taking birth and move things along. And the other time he came to tell Kamsa, you know where Krishna is all this time? He's been in Vrindavan. He killed everybody you ever sent to kill him. His mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, lied to you. They took him away. They did everything that they could to hide this from you. And he made Kamsa furious like an atomic bomb, worse by far than Indra, which is interesting. We'll hear about that also. Yes. Ah, there we go. Narada went to Lakshmi, took prasad, gave the prasadam to? Yes. Oh, he did it a tricky way. So he went to Lord Shiva. He was very, very happy. Lord Shiva said, why are you so ecstatic? He said, I can't tell you that I've taken Mahaprasadam. So he went to his brother, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is his younger brother or older brother? Let's see who knows. Is he his younger brother or older brother?
Younger.
Younger. How do we know that?
He came from Brahma.
He came from Brahma. Why did he? Why is he his younger brother? Do you know?
Yes.
Please tell us. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Narada was born, all the sons of Brahma, they had different empowerments, the Kumaras and so on and so forth. And when Narada appeared, because he was meant to give bhakti, when Lord Shiva, Brahma asked him to marry, just like the Hariashvas and the Prachetas, he refused to marry. And when he refused to marry, Lord Shiva became Lord Brahma became angry, and Lord Shiva appeared. So he gave his younger brother a small, tiny bit of this Mahaprasad, and so Lord Shiva, for those who can't hear clearly, Lord Shiva started dancing, and when Lord Shiva starts dancing, that's the destruction. He dances the Tandava dance, the dance of destruction. And so everybody became worried. Uh-oh, what's happening here? So they went to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, this is a Puri Lila. Yes? Yes. Yeah. Yes, and as a result, I'm going to leave out some of the turns in the road of the Lila. As a result, Vimala Devi appeared. And Vimala Devi is up at the top of the gate, right on the eastern gate of the Jagannath Puri temple, is Vimala Devi. And it said that Vimala Devi cooks for Lord Jagannath. And as we know, who was named Bimal Prasad? Yes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Okay, we're not going to go any further with Parvati and Lord Shiva. They have a lot of domestic. Back to the Bhagavatam. Mugrari the hunter. A very important lila. Srila Prabhupada liked to speak of this one often. Because he showed Mugrari what was going to happen as a result of his lifestyle, and he completely transformed him. He changed his heart. So he went from a cruel person who loved to look at animals writhing in pain. It's like, imagine if somebody came here and they took a bird and they put it in front of us all, and we're looking at the bird, and they broke its neck, and it was lying there screaming, and they're like looking, wow! We'd be like, what? You know, we would be horrified. So Mugrari had this nature that he enjoyed seeing suffering animals. And Narada converted him by his patient instructions and by showing him what was going to be his destination. And as a result of that, he became completely passive. He became completely like a sadhu. And he was saying to him before that, he said, well, what will happen if I give up my hunting? How will I take care of myself? How will I live? And Narada said, you'll be all right. And what happened was people would come to see him because it was so astonishing that such a cruel man became a sadhu. And they would bring things. It was the culture to bring things. And Narada actually, when he came to see his new disciple, he asked him, please tell them not to bring so much. I have too much here. So this Srila Prabhupada would use this story to point out the transformational, the powerful transformational effect of a Vaishnava. Because Narada was bringing Pavat Muni with him to say, look at this disciple of mine. You've got to see this. This is extraordinary. Any more? Oh, yes. Here's an interesting one. When Narada went to all the palaces of Krishna, and he walked from one palace to the next palace, probably he flew. He went from one palace to the other palace, and at each one, this is actually, if you read this pastime carefully, it's absolutely astonishing. Because it's like, if you say, okay, there's five houses here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I have the power to be visiting them all very quickly in a row, running. I'll see that this one's having lunch, 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 this one's having lunch a little late, this one's having a special lunch, this one's having lunch with their family, but they're all having lunch. But Narada came and he went from palace to palace, and some palaces Krishna was having breakfast, in some places he was having lunch, in other places he was learning archery, in some places he was getting his children married, his daughters married, in another place he was resting, another place he was offering things to the brahmanas, all simultaneously completely different. And so then Narada was amazed, and he gave his understandings of Krishna's exalted personality. Any more? Priyavrata and Vishramitra, yes, and Priyavrata, that's also a very important one, because the line coming from Dhruv Maharaj was a very powerful Kshatriya line. And so Narada had his eye on anyone who was born in that family. He would disrupt their material life and try to make them into bhaktas. And Priyavrata, you said Priyavrata, yes, there's another one too. Priyavrata had already, he was the brother of Uttanapad. So he was Dhruva Maharaj's uncle. He had already given up material life. He didn't need anything more said, except that Narada was the one who was supporting him in this. But Narada's father, Brahma, was realizing that there's nobody to manage universal affairs. It has to be Priyavrata. And this was very interesting because Lord Brahma came on one side and Narada was on the other. It was quite a delicate situation because they were giving different instructions. But I've forgotten who actually clarified, made the final decision what he should do.
It was Swayambhu Manu who wanted Priyavrata to marry. Okay.
Okay, so Lord Brahma came to clarify it. That's correct. Thank you. So then the two sides are taking place, and then Lord Brahma decided that actually he had to break the renunciation of Priyavrata and put him into universal management role. And he assured him that he would be safe doing that. And also, although Priyavrata kind of got involved with his wife and his children, all the things we get involved with, at the right time, he found himself reducing his attachment and he was ready again to take up renunciation. The other one is Prachina Bahisat, who was much later in the line. And he was very interested in fruitive karmakanda. You know, I offer this yajna and this comes, and I offer this and I go to heaven, and I offer this and so many things will happen. And he told him the analogy in the Bhagavatam. Yes? Of? Who was it? Who did he? Puranjan. Yes. He told him this analogy to indicate the awkward position we find ourselves in within this material body and to encourage him to set his mind towards something of a transcendental nature. So we could go on and on. Do you have one? Chitraketu, thank you. That was a very important one. Chitraketu. And my husband was saying, and I must come from some acharyas, that when that baby who had died again revived to life and sat up, when Narada said, I can bring your child back to life, and the child sat up, the speech of the child was not the speech of the child, it was the speaking of Narada through the child. And the child looked at his father who was crying because his baby had died prematurely, crying and crying and almost dead himself. And the child looked at him and said, in which life were you my father? How would you feel? In which life I had a relationship with you? And he completely cut away all of Chitraketu's illusions and got him ready for actual practice of devotional kind. And then Chitraketu, from there, he went forward. Oh, Lali, yes. Yes, he also talked about his own life. He talked about his mother and how attached he was to his mother. He didn't have a father. That meant in Vedic culture that his mother was a maid servant, was sort of something like, I don't know what you would call it, not a street woman, but something like that. When the kings married the princesses, they got all these maid servants that would come along. And that was because kings have a lot of vira ras, and they have a lot of strength. And so sometimes they would need to engage with these maid servants. So Narada's mother was a humble maid servant, a maid servant of sadhus, actually, at that time. And Narada heard from them. And some say that those saints that he served were the Kumaras. And he served them very humbly. And then after they left, he took a little of their prasad and became completely detached and wandered everywhere. until finally it was time. He had darshan of the Lord, and then when it was time, he left his body. That's a wonderful part of the Bhagavatam because it describes how he left his body in the same way that you have darkness and light. There's no intervening between. He went flick, and he had attained his actual spiritual identity. There was no sort of agony. It was immediate. So he talked about his own life. Yes, there was one more there, Jainatai. Annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, was he involved? That I'm not sure. You tell me. Okay. Most likely he was. Now there's one pastime that I know, and that is that one time in Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna were sitting together. And Krishna told Radharani, you know this Narada Muni? Yes. Never trust him. What? Never trust him. Don't listen to anything that he says. What? He's very, very tricky. He causes trouble between people. He goes here and there, and we've heard a few examples already, and he causes conflict between people. So if you listen to him, then there'll be conflict between us. So never listen to Narada. And so Srimati Radharani thought, So later that day, Lalita Devi, she was at a place just nearby to Nandagram. And at that place, there's a Julan and there's a Kund. And she was sitting there and she was making garlands. And she was stringing the garlands, the flowers, onto the thread. And she would hold the garland up like this. And she would look at it a little bit. And then she would take it and break it and throw it away. And then she would do it again. She'd string all the flowers on. She'd look at the garland, looked at it, break it, throw it away. And Narada came there. And he watched her. She had a pile of broken garlands, and she's making garlands. And so he asked her, he said, What are you doing? And she said, well, I'm making a garland for Radha and Krishna. They're coming here. But each time I look at it, it's too short, or it's too long, or it doesn't look quite right. It's not perfect enough, so I throw it away. I start again. He said, He said, so they're coming here? She said, yes, yes, Krishna's coming from Nandagram and Radharani is coming from Javad. Narada said, okay. And how he was sitting there looking. And along comes Krishna. So Krishna comes and Narada says so many beautiful prayers to him. He glorifies him in so many wonderful words. And then he says to Krishna, he says, please, will you do me one favor? So Krishna, Narada is his great devotee, he says, please just sit here on this swing. So Krishna sits on the swing. He's sitting there on the swing. And then Narada looks at Lalita and he says, if you could please do me one favor, and I've forgotten his reasons how he gets her to do this, but he says, please, if you could also sit on the swing. So first she doesn't want to sit on the swing, but Narada, he's very clever, and he says, please you sit on the swing. Eventually, he convinces her she sits on the swing. So he goes with his, you know, he plays his tambura, and off he goes singing, and he's very happy. And he comes to Javat, and he comes just near where Radharani is, and he's singing. Oh, Lalita Krishna, Lalita Krishna, Lalita Krishna, Jai Lalita Krishna. Radharani goes, what? He says, oh, you haven't seen? He said, oh, Lalita and Krishna, they look so beautiful together. And Radharani thinks, Lalita would never do something like this. She would never do something with Krishna. She says, this is not possible. And he says, oh, if you're not sure, You go towards, you go past Tir Kadamba, where you might have been for chanting japa, and you keep going to near, just near the cow barns, keep going, and there's a very nice kund there with a lovely jula, and you have a look and see what's going on there. So Lalita gets some of her friends and off she goes. She's very curious. What is this? And she comes some distance away, not very close. And she sees there's Krishna sitting on the swing and Lalita is sitting beside her. And she becomes so upset with Lalita. How could you do this? And she's crying. And she comes and she's so angry with Krishna. How could you do this? And Lalita is looking at her and she says, Narada told me to sit here. And Krishna says, why are you doing this? And Krishna says, Narada told me to sit here. And then Narada is not there by now. And then Krishna says, how did you come here? And then she explains what happened. And then Krishna says, now do you understand? Never trust Narada. So that's Lalita Kund. And you can still go to that place. It's very near to Nandagram. It's a very special place. And I think even on the altar they have very nice deities. And that place is still visible. So this is Narada. He's a very interesting personality. But we've come here and we love to hear about him, and everybody has contributed something from their hearing and from their experience of the Bhagavatam, or from what they have heard about Puri and other Leelas, Vedic stories about Narada. And we need his Narada Bhakti Sutras. This is what we really, really require. We need to know how it's possible for us to actually become advanced in devotional service. So this is his place. I must admit I don't know very much of the Leela that took place here. I've never been able to find a reliable personality to hear. I've only come here, sat, heard about Narada, and offered obeisances and gone from here without entering very deeply into the atmosphere here. But we can see it's a beautiful place, a sacred place, and we can pray here that please may the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, the teachings that are encapsulated in these Narada Bhakti Sutra, may these become one with my heart, or better said, may my heart become gradually one with these teachings. This would be the greatest thing that I could ask for. So we can sit, maybe we'll sit for a couple of minutes here, and you can offer your prayers, anyone who would like to go down closer to the water, place some sacred water on your head, and then we will have a little short 5-minute kirtan and quietly make our way